are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, here we are in another Locked On Podcast Network crossover. It is a Wednesday, which means it's a Wednesday crossover. I'm here with the hosts, plural, the hosts of Locked On Chargers. They are a trio of hosts. We've got Daniel Wade, John Kegley, and David Drogemeyer. I am Brian Peacock, host of Locked On 49ers, and we're here in this crossover. Both teams coming in at 1-2 on the season. The complexion of that record, I think, looks much different now for the 49ers, who are without Jimmy Garoppolo, who is done for the year with a torn ACL. But we're going to get into this matchup. The Chargers heavily favored in this matchup, but I think the 49ers still might have some tricks left in the bag here. And it's 10.5-point line. I don't know. What do you guys think? 10.5-point line. I think that within the NFL, things flip so quickly, and just when you think you have a read on how a team is or how a game is going to go, it just gets flipped completely on its head, right?
Yeah, it definitely seems like that. For me, I mean, 10.5, especially because it's not as if the Chargers bring a home field advantage to the mix with their step up Stalker Stadium. So that definitely doesn't play a factor. I mean, you could argue there might be more 49er fans in that stadium just because I feel like that's a team that travels pretty well. Mm-hmm. And I mean, Jimmy Garoppolo being out, like, obviously that's a huge loss for the 49ers. I mean, you can't really put a value on that because what he has meant to them and what he's brought to the table since he started over CJ Beathard last season when he came in. But yeah, at 10.5, I'd be hard pressed to bet the Chargers on that one, especially with their tendency to keep teams close and to play in very close games.
You know, that was a good point you made, and I wanted to ask you guys about that, about the Chargers now in Los Angeles, and I'm still just barely getting able to say Los Angeles Chargers and not San Diego Chargers. And the 49ers do travel pretty well. There are a ton of 49ers fans already in the L.A. area. How is the Chargers fan base taken to their new home north of San Diego? Could this be a situation where it's like maybe not a home game for the Niners? I know I used to go down even to San Diego and see the San Francisco Giants play the Padres, and that even felt like a home game sometimes for the San Francisco Giants. But do you think the 49ers might feel more comfortable than a traditional road atmosphere?
Well, seeing that John goes to most of those games, I think he'd probably be the best guy to answer that question.
Have you ever been to a Charger game at Qualcomm?
No, I have not been to a Chargers game, only Padres.
Well, when the 49ers played there, it was about 60% at least Niner fans, and wow, the rest were Charger fans, and it was loud with Niner fans.
Okay. So,
and it's gotten worse in StubHub. It's literally the whole opposing team shows up, and the only Charger fans that show up are the ones that paid the expensive money to sit in the shaded field level seats on the home side. And then both end zones and the opposing side sidelines are full of the opposing fans. So it's actually gotten worse.
Wow.
And I expect a lot of Niner fans, probably 70% at least Niner fans at this game.
Okay. That's interesting.
Eagles was the worst. The Eagles was at least 90%. And they were doing that Eagles chant the whole game, and it was loud.
And Eagles fans are just the worst anyways.
We can all agree on that.
I love Eagles fans. What are you talking about?
They got the trophy right now.
Anyone who wants to kill their own city after winning a championship's a little on the crazy side.
Yeah.
Literally. I would do it. Hell yeah. Make Mayor Faulkner pay the bill.
Hey, what's the status on the new joint stadium in LA?
It'll be ready in 2020. Right now it's looking really good. According to one of the construction workers, it's about 50% done.
Okay. 50%. Hey, you know what? I want to ask you guys one quick question here to get started about some football talk here. The Jimmy Garoppolo thing is obviously huge for the 49ers, but the Chargers have been dinged up a little bit. And I want to start with, how has the Joey Bosa injury impacted the Chargers defense, and when is he due back?
The Joey Bosa injury has been monumental, to put it mildly. He transforms the Chargers defense in a way that no other player on the roster does. He's a game wrecker, and his presence is sorely missed. Unfortunately, with Joey Bosa out of the mix, Melvin Ingram's been getting double teamed a lot, and it's been a lot easier to eliminate him because Bosa and Melvin Ingram feed off each other. They complement each other, and they help each other when they're brushing the passer. Now, as far as an injury update, he's already been ruled out for this week, so that's not going to happen, unfortunately, which sucks because I am going to the game. It's my birthday on Sunday. My wife bought me a ticket, so I was really hoping to see number 99 out there. But he had a cast. It was removed. They are saying that he will make his 2018 season debut sometime in October, but there is no definitive date as of this moment.
Yeah, and I think it's really hurt the secondary of the Chargers as well. I think more than just the pass rush, this secondary went from looking elite last year when they were giving up only 17.3 points per game to really looking below average, to say it nicely. And you really just see how much that really has affected them, because they've given up, I think, the second or third most passing yards in the league so far this year. I know the 49ers probably aren't that far away on that. But I think that's the thing that's really been kind of exposed without Joey Bosa, is the secondary being great, which we thought they would be with three pretty good players. Those guys have been a shell of themselves without the pass rush to kind of make the quarterback throw quickly.
And so his replacement's been, what, mostly Nwosu? I liked what I saw from him in the preseason.
It's been Isaac Rochelle and Chris Landrum, two guys that looked great in preseason. I mean, story as old as time. And ever since the actual season has started, and I don't think either one has graded out over a 50 on Pro Football Focus. And Uchenna Nwosu has gotten, I think, only 39 snaps this season, and is at a 39.3. So, I mean, they have been sorely lacking on that opposite side of Melvin Ingram, and it's killed them so far. There's the first-round pick, Derwin James, actually leads the team in sacks right now with two. So I think that kind of shows you what effect it's had on the defensive line for the Chargers.
Wow, yeah, and the 49ers are kind of in the same boat, not losing a player like Joey Bosa on defense, but they've had some trouble getting after the quarterback, aside from – really, the only guy that's been doing a number on opposing defenses or opposing offenses is DeForest Buckner, and he's looking like he's developing into a star. But as far as edge rushers go, they haven't been able to get to the quarterback, and it really puts the defensive backfield in a bind. And so the 49ers really have that defensive backfield has really suffered because of that, and the fact that they haven't been able to get to the quarterback, and then the fact that they've stayed on the field so long has also hurt them. You mentioned Derwin James there, and I got to ask about him because he's a guy I loved coming out of college, and I thought he was a complete steal with the 17th pick, right, overall. And that he's just a freak of nature, and seeing his development happen so quickly, that's got to be at least a nice little bonus, even though Joey Bosa's been out and it maybe hasn't gone as well as you'd hoped for the first three games.
Well, this defense last year had some trouble with safety because we would have a guy beat us deep and no one was over to cover it. So like if there was a communication issue between cornerback and safety or something along those lines, it was usually a safety issue if we got beat deep. And now that we have a guy who's got speed, who can be a ball hawk, who can also play the run and the pass, it's improved our defense a lot. But as mentioned earlier, we're missing Joey Bosa, which is also a big puzzle piece, if you will, to this defense. But there's been so many great moments with Derwin James. Like, for example, against the Chiefs, DeAnthony Thomas, which I'm sure you know is an extremely fast guy, was running a deep route, and Derwin James caught up to him and knocked a deep pass away that would have been a touchdown. And there's not many guys that can do that, especially as a rookie.
Yeah, that's unbelievable. His range, his athleticism, and to be that size, too, and be able to and I wasn't sure, just because he's so big, I was like, is he going to be more of a box safety and be limited like that? And you've mentioned he's had a couple sacks. So is he mostly in the box, or is he playing more free safety? Is he playing deep? Is he just playing all over the place?
Well, so far this season, Derwin James has just been a Swiss Army knife. He's been Gus Bradley's probably his favorite player because he's been able to move him around all over the field. He's played free safety. He's played linebacker in the dime. He's played in the box. He's rushed the quarterback, as John mentioned. He's just been all over the field. And it's just been a revelation to watch his progression and just see his natural talent take over. Just as a rookie, it's pretty special to see what he's been able to do so far. And you were absolutely right. He was a clear steal at 17. And I know Tom Telesco was skipping up to the podium to to deliver that pick. And it's been just a pleasure to watch him so far.
You know, and something I didn't really think about until you guys mentioned Gus Bradley is the Seattle Seahawks lineage of Gus Bradley coming from there and that cover three defense, and then Robert Saleh also starting out in Seattle and then moving over to Jacksonville with Gus Bradley, and then now he's the defensive coordinator of the 49ers and running that cover three scheme. So that's interesting, though, that you say Derwin James has been moving around and doing a lot of different things, because with the 49ers defensive scheme and that cover three, they are in their strict roles, and the strong safety is in the box and he's the strong safety. That free safety is in center field pretty much all the time, you know, and so that's interesting that Gus Bradley is using Derwin James in that sort of a role.
Yeah, and I think even stranger than that is the fact that going into the last game, he had lined up 10% of his snaps were as a defensive lineman. And you don't really see that very often from a safety. And, I mean, just it is kind of weird to see Gus Bradley's kind of evolution getting away from that strict cover three zone. I mean, and just it seems like he's been changing with what he has, which is something you want to see, even though, I mean, he's looked pretty clueless against a couple good offenses with the Chiefs and the Rams, which I know you know pretty well, going up against them every year. And I think Kyle Shanahan probably has some of those same tendencies as far as misdirection and movement. But Derwin James, I mean, he's lined up everywhere. I think so far he's been best in the box. But, I mean, really he's been the best everywhere. He's the highest graded player on the Chargers defense and the highest graded first-round pick from the 2018 NFL draft. So I think really the sky's the limit for him, and I don't know where he's going to end up at this point, because right now he just looks like a guy that you don't really want to define into a role. But I think that really is going to be a great chess piece for the Chargers this weekend in their matchup against the 49ers offense.
And we'll get into that next.
You know, ever since I started this podcast, people have been asking me for advice. Usually it's what team to bet on this week. And the truth is, I don't know who's going to win, but if you think you know, you got to check out MyBookie. Remember, who you're betting on is just as important as who you're betting with. That's why I always tell people to bet with MyBookie. Trust me, guys, they're your best bet this season. They've been in business for years, have great reviews online, and their mobile site is easy to use. Lay down some cash and win big today. I would only recommend a service to my listeners that's been good to me, and that's why I'm urging you to make your way to MyBookie. You win, they pay. They have in-game live betting, the most rewarding player perks in the business. And for you fantasy guys out there, you can even bet the over-under on how many fantasy points a player will score each game. Join now and MyBookie will match your deposit dollar for dollar. Use the promo code LOCKEDON to activate the offer and visit MyBookie online today. That's MyBookie. And don't forget to use the promo code LOCKEDON when creating your account to claim the bonus. They'll match your deposit 100% up to $1,000. You play, you win, you get paid.
So the number one thing I want to talk about with the 49ers defense and the Chargers offense is who DeForest Buckner is going to be going up against. And so he's absolutely trashed a couple of left guards so far. So that's the position I'm looking at for the Chargers, is who's playing left guard. And looking at the Pro Football Focus grades, you don't see many grades this low. Is it Dan Feeney playing left guard with a 29.2 PFF grade so far through 3 weeks?
That is the guy. That is Dan Feeney. He is he's pretty underwhelming. We had some high hopes on this guy. We had Forrest Lamp and Dan Feeney that we drafted, and we had high hopes with those two, and Forrest Lamp got a torn ACL before the season even started last year. We're still waiting for him to stop being a healthy scratch on the inactive list every week this week. And Dan Feeney, he just gets bullied a lot. And last year, his first game of the year, we had our game-tying field goal block because he got pushed 3 yards back straight off of the line. And it became a natural thing for him week after week. But then, like, the last seven games last year, he looked really good. He looked like a growing offensive lineman, like he had improved going over the hump and is now an offensive lineman. And this year he started to look like the Dan Feeney from the beginning of last year again. So if I'm anybody on the 49ers defense, I want Dan Feeney in front of me probably, because it'll be like going up against a Pop Warner kid.
I like that matchup for the 49ers then. I think that bodes well for the 49ers defense. What might not bode well, though, is the 49ers are going to be without Richard Sherman for 2 to 3 more weeks. So Keenan Allen, he's a stud. Mike Williams looks like he's at least that guy we saw in college where he's making big plays down the field. He can really track the ball and really go get the deep ball. So Jimmy Ward, Akella Witherspoon, Adrian Colbert may or may not play. At free safety, Jaquaski Tartt's also hurt, strong safety. So the 49ers are banged up in the secondary, and it looks like they're going to have their handful. And, of course, Antonio Gates is still around too.
And your pass defense isn't the greatest either, because right now you're 27th in the league with giving up passing yards of 287.7 per game. And our pass in offense in yards is 10th in the NFL, so that's kind of a which one's going to win, the sledgehammer or the glass window?
Right. I'm going to bet on the sledgehammer on that one.
Yeah, the Chargers offense has a lot of weapons. And you mentioned Gates. He actually got involved last game. He caught a couple of big passes for some first downs and was that security blanket, which is just crazy to see at 38. But, yeah, there's just a lot of weapons on this Chargers offense. Seems like Travis Benjamin, the speedster, might be back this week. And then, of course, you got Keenan Allen, who didn't have a Keenan Allen game last week, but, you know, you're going up against two really good corners. Mike Williams looks like a stud. He's just he looks healthy, first of all. You know, he's going out there doing the things that he says that he can do. Go up and get the ball, have very strong physical hands, and showing some underrated speed as well. You know, he beat Marcus Peters deep for a touchdown. And that's not something you see all the time. You know, Marcus Peters is an all-pro corner. So to see Mike Williams do that against, a guy of that stature is very encouraging. And the 49ers cornerbacks, as depleted as they are going to have their hands full.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a matchup I don't like, especially with Sherman being out. And the rest of the guys have really taken their lumps so far this season. And and added to that is that pass rush I mentioned. They haven't been able to get to the quarterback aside from DeForest Buckner. So Buckner wreaking havoc. I like that matchup a lot. And almost every other matchup on the defensive side of the ball for the 49ers, I don't like, with the exception of the run game. I like the 49ers run defense, even though Melvin Gordon is a very good running back. There are some good offensive linemen aside from the aforementioned Dan Feeney on the Chargers offensive line, but I really like Reuben Foster and the rookie Fred Warner in the middle, who's going to be somebody that a lot of people don't know about right now, but they're going to learn about the rookie linebacker Fred Warner. What are Foster and Warner at the linebacker spots going to see from the offensive line and from the Chargers running game?
Well, I think where the Chargers have been getting more into lately is a lot of misdirection and jet sweeps, a lot like you see from the Chiefs and the Rams. They like to have a lot of motion going from side to side. They want to stretch you horizontally and vertically, and I think they've been getting a little bit better than that. They had one 20-yard counter against the Bills where Melvin Gordon went in pretty much untouched, but I honestly think the running back that you need to be more worried about is Austin Ekeler. Austin Ekeler has been the surprise of this team, I would say, so far this year. He's the number one rated running back on Pro Football Focus with over a 90 grade. It's like a 91.7. And the guy's averaging over 7 yards a carry and averaging, I think, about 13.5 yards per reception. And they just like to get him the ball in open space, which I saw that the Vikings attacked you guys with and the Chiefs was just getting the ball out into the flat and making you guys make a tackle. And that seems to have some success against them. But I think as far as the linebacker matchup goes, I think you definitely have to be a little worried about these running backs because they've formed quite the tandem so far this year with over 140 rushing yards per game. But more importantly, what they're doing out of the backfield. Both of them run routes. Austin Ekeler lines up as a pure receiver to get mismatches on linebackers like he did in week 1 where he had a 30-yard touchdown really kind of a jump ball just over the linebacker who wasn't looking. And then in week two, when the Chargers threw a little fake fade route to the end zone and Melvin Gordon came back to the front pylon and the linebacker hadn't even turned around yet. So I think that's the way the Chargers like to get the running backs involved, especially when they don't have a lot of success running in between the tackles.
Yeah, I like Austin Ekeler. In fact, the Locked On 49ers Fantasy Football League, I have him on my roster in that flex spot. So I like him a lot. And the one thing that I will mention about the 49ers, they did get killed in the flats and with running backs out of the backfield. But Reuben Foster was suspended for the first two weeks of the season. And that really hurt them, especially week one. And so I think that part will tighten it up. And that actually, it has me really excited for that part of the matchup to see Reuben Foster and Fred Warner, who both have a lot of range at linebacker, matching up with those guys out of the backfield and with Antonio Gates. So that's going to be a really fun matchup. And on paper, I like it as I like the 49ers chances there, but you're right. That's such a tough thing for teams to cover. And more teams are going to that with those running backs that can flex out and run as wide receivers and run routes out of the backfield. And it's just such a difficult thing to cover.
Yeah, it basically is really tough to cover, and it has given the Chargers more of a dimension, if you will, so to where it's not just, are we going to run it up the middle, are we going to do a handoff at a shotgun, or are we going to try to throw the crossing route to Tyrell Williams or the slant route to Keenan Allen. Now you have to account for running backs coming out of the backfield, and it's making this offense way more efficient going up and down the field. It's just, if we were to score more points, it would show better, but we tend to mess up somewhere on third down in the beginning of drives, and it doesn't help the fact that we're not showing our third down efficiency as a strength, but it's a weakness. And with that weakness comes less points. If we could convert third downs better, this offense could literally be unstoppable. But if you could use that running back tandem like on first and second down more, so you can turn things into second and ones, third and ones with the passing game, you could probably score close to 35 points a game, which we need because we're giving up 31 points a game, which is 31st in the NFL.
And we spent a lot of time on that side of the ball. I think we need to flip to the other side. We also have to get to some predictions here with this Chargers 49ers matchup, which I mentioned before. The MyBookie line is at 10.5 points favoring the Chargers. And if any of you wanted to run down from the Bay Area, go down to LA and catch that football game, I recommend going to Vivid Seats. We all love a night out, going to see our favorite band, going to catch the 49ers game. With Vivid Seats, you can attend the concert or show or sporting event of your choice at a great price. Vivid Seats is the top source for tickets for all the live events you want to go to. You can sort by price or look for seats in the section or row of your choice. To make things even better, Vivid Seats is giving listeners an exclusive promo code for new customers to receive $20 off orders of $200 or more to save even more money. And as is usually the case here on the Locked On Podcast Network, we give our listeners a special discount. Go to the App Store or Google Play and download the Vivid Seats app. Use promo code LOCKEDON for $20 off orders of $200 or more as a new customer of Vivid Seats. Every purchase is backed by a 100% buyer guarantee. From the biggest concerts and games to the hottest theater and more, Vivid Seats has it all. Download the app and enter promo code LOCKEDON for $20 off orders of $200 or more as a new customer of Vivid Seats. Make a memory that lasts a lifetime and let Vivid Seats help you get to your favorite live event or get to the game. All right, so real quick, we got to get to the other side of the ball here. 49ers offense and the great C.J. Beathard that he's going to dice up the Chargers defense minus Joey Bosa. No, I have no idea what to expect right now with C.J. Beathard. C.J. Beathard wasn't great last season. He held the ball way too long. He got hit a lot, and eventually he got knocked out of the game, and then Jimmy Garoppolo was forced into action. He was going to end up starting the next game, I think, anyway, and then I can't overstate the difference once Jimmy Garoppolo got in for the 49ers last year for the last 5 weeks. Obviously, he went 5-0 for a team that was 1-10 going in, but everybody played better. The receivers, they were banged up. No Pierre Garçon. They were lights out. The offensive line was blocking better. The ball was coming out quicker. They were running the ball better. And even the defense was playing better because they were off the field more and they were more fresh. And so the entire team, every position group played better when Jimmy Garoppolo was there. But now, and usually as is the case with young quarterbacks, it's year two and they take a big leap in year two. So I'm really interested to see what C.J. Beathard looks like in year two and see if he's had that development and see if he can get the ball out a little bit quicker. But there's one thing with C.J. Beathard that is clear, and he has respect of his teammates. And Coach Kyle Shanahan, the first thing he said after they drafted C.J. Beathard was that he's a tough guy, and he's tough, and he will hang in there, and he will hang into the pocket to his own detriment sometimes, and he'll just stand back there, and he will take hits, and he'll keep popping back up. So that's the one thing he definitely has going for him, is toughness, and we'll see if the rest of his game has developed beyond that. But looking at some of the matchups here, real quick before we get to the predictions with the 49ers offense against the Chargers defense, the 49ers offensive line has been running the ball very well, and Matt Breida's looked great because of it, but they have not been pass blocking well. So aside from, we talked about the Bosa stuff, has Ingram still been getting his, even though Bosa's been out?
Not really. Like I said earlier, you know, they have really paid a lot of attention to Melvin Ingram because they know Bosa is not there. So they've been double teaming him and doing everything they can to get him away from the quarterback and keep him away from the quarterback. Now, they've gone against a couple of really good offensive lines. You know, the Rams offensive line looks like one of the best in the league. And, you know, that kid over in KC is getting the ball out really quick and just has some crazy arm talent. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we debated on the last show if those were the best two teams in the league so far this year. And I think there's some strong evidence to support those claims. So, Ingram has struggled. He needs help. Maybe, you know, he can get off the schneid against the 49ers offensive line, but we'll see. I mean, they're probably just going to do what every other opponent has done and try to eliminate him and make someone else beat them.
Yeah, that makes sense. And if the 49ers, which I assume they would like to do, want to go run heavy, how has that Chargers run defense been? And do you expect that Gus Bradley is just going to put everybody in the box, including Derwin James, and dare C.J. Beathard and the 49ers to beat them with the pass?
Oh, I absolutely expect it, and it's what we've seen so far this year. The Chargers loading up in the box and just, you know, daring the other team to pass, which they probably shouldn't do since they've been giving up so many yards in the passing game. But there's been one bright spot. Darius Filon seems to have made a jump to a above-average defensive interior lineman. But besides that, there's really not that much else. Everyone they've put across from Melvin Ingram has struggled to really fill in either the running game or in a pass rush situations. And so you've seen a lot more stacked boxes. I expect to see a lot of Derwin James this week in the box and up near the line of scrimmage, and especially blitzing, because it was so effective in week two and they went away from it in week three. And I think they're going to definitely try to make C.J. Beathard beat them. And I think he will cause some problems for them as far as escapability and hanging in the pocket and kind of extending plays. That's really killed their secondary all year long. But one thing I wanted to ask you about, just kind of watching some of the San Francisco 49er games, is they've given up 13 sacks? That seems like a huge number. But from what I saw, it seemed like a lot of that was maybe coverage sacks. It looked like on a lot of those plays, the quarterback was holding on to the ball a pretty long time.
Yeah, it's one thing that a lot of fans were sort of frustrated about with Jimmy Garoppolo, because his MO, his thing is he gets the ball out lightning quick and he's accurate and he throws the ball short and intermediate. And that's what we saw last year for those five games. And he's held onto the ball a lot more. And we've heard whispers of the receivers not getting open and a lot of coverage sacks there. And the 49ers offensive line, they rate third in the league in run blocking, but 27th in the league in pass blocking. So I think it's a combination of both those things. Their offensive line is better run blockers than pass blockers. Garoppolo's had to hold on to the ball a little bit longer than he'd like. So I think it's just a combination of those two things. And the 49ers haven't really been able to get a lot of drives going. And even when they get to running the ball, they've actually run the ball so well that they've hit big runs. And so even when they're running the ball, it's not like these big long drives where they're marching down the field. So it's been a really interesting offense, and it hasn't looked really at all like I think a lot of 49ers fans expected coming in. And Matt Breida has been a nice bright spot, and he's t- tied for the league lead in rushing yardage for a reason, because he's a good fit for the 49ers outside zone running scheme. And the 49ers, like I said, have been run blocking really well, especially right tackle Mike McGlinchey. I think it was a huge upgrade over Trent Brown as a run blocker, but he's actually been a downgrade as a pass blocker because Trent Brown's so big. He can't really move, and he wasn't a good fit for the 49ers offense getting out on the move and blocking on those outside zone runs. But he's just a really good pass blocker. So you kind of give some and get some with Mike McGlinchey replacing Trent Brown at right tackle. They've been really banged up at right guard. Weston Richburg didn't look as good in the first game, but has come back up. And really, if you look at their PFF grades along the offensive line, they're all just right in the same zone. They're all right in the 60s. So they're just kind of right in the middle. But definitely a better run blocking group than pass blocking group. So I imagine even, and look, because Kyle Shanahan's a really aggressive offensive coordinator, and he doesn't want to just pound the ball, and he doesn't want to just run into a brick wall all day long. So he's going to want to still throw the ball a little bit and then start running the ball as he gets drives going. That kind of tends to be his tendency. So there's still going to be a lot put on C.J. Beathard to get some drives rolling and make some plays with his arm.
Well, the Chargers' run defense is ranked 24th. In the league right now, giving up 120 yards a game. These are stats coming from NFL.com. And the 49ers is run offense is second in the league with 152. So or as earlier we brought up, which one wins the hammer or the glass window, that's mm-hmm. another situation like that. But the one difference is there's no Garoppolo in this offense now.
Yeah.
So if you were to go all in on the run, how would C.J. Beathard beat the Chargers? What do you think he would have to do to beat the Chargers, especially with him having injuries in the offense?
So I would look back to the only time he has won in the NFL, and that was when the 49ers beat the New York Giants last year, and it was Week 10. It was their first win of the season, and C.J. Beathard was able to make some big plays, and it was easily his highest graded game. And he hit Marquise Goodwin for a really long touchdown. So I think that is going to be the key to this game. If the 49ers can't run the ball very well, and they're forced to make plays with the pass, and the Chargers are, you know, 7-8 guys in the box and really challenging the 49ers to throw the ball deep, I think you're going to look at Marquise Goodwin with his 4.27 speed. I think they might try to get the rookie Dante Pettis in there and make some big plays down the field, and George Kittle, too, in the seam, because George Kittle runs 4.5, and I think he's more athletic than people think when he lines up there, so he can make some plays down the seam and make some big plays as well. So if the 49ers do win this game, it's because one, they'd be able to run the ball, and two, they make some really big plays in the passing game, and not necessarily just getting diced up by C.J. Beathard, but just a couple of shot plays. And I'd be looking at C.J. Beathard to Marquise Goodwin being that one. If they can hit one of those, I think that would be huge for the 49ers offense.
Well, let's go ahead and get some predictions out there, Brian. How about that? So let's go ahead and just start with you. Let's get down to brass tacks. 49ers, Chargers this Sunday. Who you got and what's the score?
Yeah, it's tough. It's tough with the way the 49ers have kind of sputtered right now on both sides of the ball with the injuries they're dealing with. Maybe the best player on both offense and defensive side of the ball is out for them in Jimmy Garoppolo and Richard Sherman. I guess DeForest Buckner would have something to say about that. But, you know, I think the 49ers will rally behind Beathard. I don't think they feel like they're defeated. I think he's got a lot of respect in the locker room, but I do think they will fall short in this game. I'm going to go 31-24 Chargers. So the 49ers do cover that 10.5, but it's hard for me to predict a 49ers win. What do you guys see?
Well, I think I'm kind of leaning towards the same as you, and I think that would probably go against what a lot of Charger fans think, because I think the Charger fans see Jimmy Garoppolo going down and think that's kind of the end-all, be-all for the 49ers and that they're not going to put up a fight, which I couldn't disagree with more. I mean, even as sorry as the Bills were heading into the Chargers game, they still made that game a little bit interesting in the second half that people might not know, and things got a little bit uncomfortable for them. I think that this game could follow a similar script to that. I like your score of 31-24. DeForest Buckner does seem to be really blossoming. I mean, 3.5 sacks already, and his high was 6.5 or 6, and he only had 3 last year. That's pretty scary going up against the terrible Dan Feeney. So I'm going to say the Chargers offense gets it going against a struggling pass defense for the 49ers. I'm going to go ahead and say that the Chargers win 34-21, and they cover the 10.5 point spread.
Do you guys agree with him there? Yeah, I want to hear all three predictions because I'm hoping one of you guys, and I know my listeners are holding out for one of you guys to pick the 49ers, but I don't know if that's going to happen.
I'm going to pick the Chargers to win this game 30-13, but I think it's going to be close from the beginning, and then eventually the Chargers find a groove late that gets them to that 17-point lead, if you will. And I want to say that the 49ers are going to come out fast on this Chargers team, and it's going to look like, oh boy, here we go. The game we're supposed to win, and we're starting to screw up again. We're going to charge this game like we always do, but I think the passing game takes over.
Yeah, John, I just think that, you know, we know what the Chargers are going to try to do on the defensive side against the 49ers. They got a young quarterback that's stepping in that doesn't have a lot of experience. They're going to try to make it as uncomfortable as possible. They're going to stack the box and make that guy beat him, beat the Chargers. And I just don't think C.J. Beathard can do it, unfortunately. I'm going to go 34-14. Chargers win pretty big.
Well, Brian, first, before you say anything, I just to play devil's advocate, I actually had the Chargers losing this game originally. I thought they were going to get off to a 1-3 start with losses to the Rams, Chiefs, and the 49ers. That's how much respect I have for Kyle Shanahan and for Jimmy Garoppolo. And I just think that with Kyle Shanahan's play calling, I think he knows how to get the most of it out of his players. And with what they've been able to do with their tight ends and just their offense and how well their running scheme seem to work, I think if Matt Breida and Alfred Morris play in this game and can get healthy enough, I absolutely think that there's a really good chance that the San Francisco 49ers will have a shot in this game. I don't want my prediction to make it seem like I don't think they have a shot, because with the Chargers, let me tell all the San Francisco 49er fans out there, they are never a lock to win a game. And you might ask yourself, who was the Cleveland Browns' last win before they won last week against the Jets? And that was a Christmas Eve game against the Chargers. So,
all right, Daniel, that's enough sucking up.
I enjoyed that. I think my listeners probably enjoyed that quite a bit, too. And, and like I mentioned at the beginning of the show, you never know. Just when you think a thing's going to go a certain way, the NFL has a way of flipping that on its head. And so you really never know. That's why they played the games, right? So the 49ers, I think that 10.5 is just a little overreaction to the Garoppolo injury. And the 49ers could definitely lay an egg and kind of be done for this season. But I still see a little bit of a rallying point for them. And so it's going to be interesting to see how they bounce back from that.
Do you think they're going to sign Kaepernick to come back to the Niners? I had a bunch of Niner fans when I was at the Charger-Rams game when we were talking about Garoppolo at halftime telling me that the 49ers should sign Cap, or they think they're going to sign Cap.
No, they're definitely not bringing in Cap. Kyle Shanahan already shot that down. He shot it down when he first took the job, and he shot it down again. He said it's not really a scheme fit, and they've brought in 7 guys now for workouts, none of them Colin Kaepernick. Wow. And none of them very good. So this week is definitely going to be C.J. Beathard. And I think even if the guys that they've brought in for workouts, if they sign one of them, that guy is going to back up C.J. Beathard too. But they brought up Nick Mullins, who was a preseason star for the 49ers, and at least one of those preseason games led him to a comeback win. He's going to be the backup this week, and we'll see if they sign somebody to be the backup next week. But it's the C.J. Beathard show, man. That's what it's going to be for the 49ers this year.
Sounds good, Brian. Well, hey, on behalf of the Locked On Chargers podcast, just wanted to thank you for joining us, man. It was really good talking football with you.
Yeah, absolutely. It's great talking to all three of you guys. You can find me on Twitter at BD Peacock, of course, LockedOn49ers.com. Do you want to tell the listeners where you can find you guys? Locked On Chargers, I know, is the Twitter handle for the podcast.
It's actually Locked On LAC. So,
my bad.
It's not Locked On Chargers. It is Locked On LAC.
Locked On LAC.
So you can find me on Twitter at SD. It's Deidre619. You can find Daniel Wade on Twitter at
Dan Talk Sports.
And John Kegley, you can find him just by typing into Twitter, John Kegley. It's Biggest Chargers FN. So check us out.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. Always fun to talk to the folks on the network, and I hope things continue to grow for you guys. I know the Locked On Chargers podcast is growing, as is the entire network. So it's great talking to you, fellas.
And you as well. Best of luck to the number one podcast on the Locked On Podcast Network.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. All right, that's going to do it for this episode of the show. Thanks again to John Daniel and David. We took a little bit long, but that's all right. Have fun talking to the other hosts on these Locked On Podcast Network crossover episodes. Be back tomorrow with Kyle Madsen. He is the new managing editor of the Niners Wire. So we'll be talking to him about the Niners and about this upcoming matchup with the Los Angeles Chargers right here on Locked On 49ers.